Do you want to say hello to Maps Maponyane quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
I know you've got to run off to work. Let's get him on quickly. All right, bring the man on. Where's Maps Maponyane? So, of course, if you don't know who this guy is, I don't know what the hell you've been doing, but he's been a well-known face in South African media for ages, and we're going to talk to him about, among other things, inter alia, also the World Cup, because obviously there were lots of games over the last while that you would have got together with your family and friends to talk about, but Maps probably is one of the best people when it comes to talking about this stuff. Of course, I know his famous father just as well. We'll talk to him in just a second. Here he is. Ah, hello, Maps Maponyane.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, guys?
Awesome, man. Hey. Nice to see your face. I haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a very, very long time for us. We've got far better frequency than we've had in the last, feels like a couple of years now. That never happens.
Yeah, dude. Are you good?
I'm very, very good. Very good. But enjoyed an exciting World Cup. And a very interesting World Cup. But yeah, it's great to be on the show, especially getting to speak about this. I wasn't sure if I kept getting the messages, and I was like saying to my father, my dad, I think Gareth's trying to find you, but his team keeps messaging me to speak about the football.
Well, listen, how is the old man? Because I used to see him at my local gym. I don't go to the same gym anymore, but is he still fit and fighting and good to go?
Yeah. Still fit, still strong, still, I mean, he's doing incredibly well, especially from a health perspective. And yeah, just lucky to still have him so active. And he's doing a lot of great things around sport as well, which makes him even more active. And it's quite exciting. I mean, he's really now dive deep into trying to help the kind of development side of things work out. And he's now running a clinic for top strikers. Young top strikers. Amazing. That he's running around the country, which is quite cool.
Sure. That's
different
fantastic,
strikers,
man.
The ones in March to March. Totally different strikers.
Yeah, no,
completely.
Those are different.
Yeah. And
all right, well, As I wanted you to say hello to Maps, but I know you've got to run off to work, and we will catch up with you in a couple of days.
Ash. Did you say Ash?
Lee Ass.
Oh, okay.
Mole. Don't you know that's her name?
Okay.
look at her name here. Lee Ass Mole.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there we go. I mean, I love that they made the official menopausal drug abuser. That comment was brilliant right now. So I'm glad it's official now.
That comes up. No, if you Google her, that's the first thing that comes up, actually.
No, you're kidding.
Now it is.
All right, Ass. Have a happy day.
Have a good weekend.
Bye. So Maps, first of all, you've been doing so many things here. I want to talk about Bridges for Music in a moment or two. But let's just go straight into World Cup, because I know you, this is the one sporting event. I'm not a huge sports fan like you are, but man, every time this World Cup comes along, I find myself drawn in, and then I start sounding like all the people that I don't sound like the rest of the time. What a final. You couldn't wish for better with Argentina and Spain. I mean, this is almost—it's almost like it's been choreographed. And there are conspiracy theorists who are always bouncing around saying, "Oh, well, it's been rigged from the start." But I mean, Argentina have been superb. Spain have been superb. A lot of the other teams have done extraordinarily well. I mean, you look at Norway, for example, who I became a massive Norway fan for a while.
Yeah,
France and England did quite well up until the last minute. And really, there's been plenty to watch in this World Cup, right?
Yeah, there's been. I think I was one of those that was really worried with what the World Cup was going to end up being like. And I mean, having gone to the opening games and seen some of those duels, I was really, really impressed. I mean, especially with the atmosphere in Mexico. Mexico is absolutely unbelievable. With
you were actually there in person.
Yes, I was there in person watching South Africa against Mexico in that opening game, which was much to be desired with how SA played. But the atmosphere was something like I've never experienced before. It was truly, truly unbelievable. And those Mexican fans can party like absolutely mad partying kind of atmosphere. I mean, they will crowd their streets. I'm not sure if you saw any of the images, and they'll just absolutely pack their streets and celebrate. I think they celebrate until about 5 a.m. and it with literally tens of thousands of people all lining the streets and just enjoying that first opening game victory. And there,
did it
and
take
it's
you
only
a,
the
did
first
it take
point,
you a
guys.
week to recover, by the way? Because that sounds like it's
It took a long
pretty
time.
wild.
It took a long time to recover.
I haven't been to Mexico City. I've been to Cancun. I went there for a wedding a while ago, but I don't know enough to know what Mexico City is enormous, right? It's just absolutely unfathomably huge. If you think Joburg is big, Joburg is like a tiny little dusty village town.
In
Think dusty
comparison.
village, not even town. I wouldn't say town by comparison. But the Mexicans are such passionate people. Everything they do big. It must have been pretty cool to be South African in Mexico.
It was really cool. And actually, you feel like a bit of a celebrity when you're there. The amount of pictures I took purely from wearing a South Africa football jersey, everyone wanted a photo. Everyone was like just, welcoming me in. Everyone was offering their food. I mean, I remember I was at the stadium and I was in this long line for food and someone had just left the line. They're like, oh, South Africa. And he had this amazing lamb taco in his plate. And, I asked him, is it good? He's like, yeah, it's very good. Yeah, take mine. And I'm like, but you've just been in the line for ages. He's like, no, man, take mine. And I was just like,
Oh,
okay,
wow.
I'll have one little bite of your taco. There's no need to take all of yours, but just like the offering and how many parties are happening in the various little homes and the taquerias and the food. Oh, God, you'd love the food. The food is so good,
Oh,
and
man.
especially when you go to the food trucks if you can get invited into one of the locals' homes, which is a constant thing. I don't know if a lot of the time was just because there aren't a lot of me there, but it was absolutely just like it was so much fun. And you mentioned Cancun, and the only excuse I can give you there is that it was for a wedding, but I've always said, like, if I go to Mexico, I don't want to go to Cancun or Tulum, right? Because you want to see the place first before you kind of go see the kind of more glamorous, touristy kind of places.
Sure.
And it really is a pretty massive behemoth of a city. But you also realize just how many similarities it does and sorry, it has to a place like Joburg too and South Africa. There's so much feeling of that here. And then you also realize to a certain extent, for lack of a better use of term, like there's definitely a little bit more third worldness there in many spaces where you're like, geez, it feels like you're actually quite home.
I've heard good things from everybody, and I've seen lots of good stuff in the media too about America, Canada, and Mexico in this World Cup. And they've pulled out all the stops. Trust North America because they lead in so many ways to just blow everybody's expectations right out of the water. Because I remember thinking in the build up to this, I remember thinking, there's not a lot of like excitement. I hope they don't, because we know America is not a big football nation, right? I hope they don't drop this and it isn't like a damp squib, but it seems to have just been absolutely fantastic, astonishing, coincided clearly with the American 250th anniversary. So there was a lot of reason for plenty of people from all over the world to be really excited about seeing the World Cup in those countries.
Look, I will say when I initially got there, I had the stance of maybe it should just be Mexico because the excitement, the fervor, and the feeling of it was one of that reminded me of 2010, that the World Cup is here and
Sure.
it's just super invigorating. When I got to the States, as you're welcomed in, people are saying, oh, why are you here? Why are you here? And telling them that it's the World Cup. They're like, oh, when does that start? Oh, I didn't know it was the World Cup. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? I'm so confused. So many Americans didn't know when it was starting, where it's happening. And I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And then, in Canada, when you look at the media and everything, you weren't sure if Canada knew they were hosting. And like, it was just so much so much going on. But then you watch those Canada games in Canada and Vancouver and Toronto and how packed those were. And then in the States, it seemed like the major cities really just put on an absolute show. New York, Boston, when it was hosted there, Miami as well. The atmosphere was great. But then then you see that Texas and all Houston, and Dallas was a little bit more of like a damn squib, as you refer to it, where there was apparently only excitement around the stadium in the actual game, and then you left and you go back downtown. It's like there's no, not a peep, no one wearing
No one
any
knows.
like football gear. No one knows what's happening. Everyone's wondering when the next rodeo is, whatever it might be. And it's just like, and that was quite interesting. But they have definitely host so I think they've definitely surprised a lot of people with just how well they've hosted. However, it has changed the DNA of the game, in terms of things like this hydration break. I'm not sure if you've seen a lot, where now it's changed it
Yeah.
into this very American format of these four quarters, which has lost the flow of the game. Then you've
And
had
where
the
you can put,
controversy
they want
around
to put more advertising in,
it's
obviously. And
all exactly it's all for that. It's a
Americans are so
hundred
good at that stuff.
percent.
But I don't know. I mean, I've spent enough time in America, and I've gone to a couple of games, which I would never do in most countries. I couldn't give a shit. But they make everything such an entertainment spectacular, right? They've got like cameras all over the stadium. They got people doing stuff on the field. They've got things going on in the stands. It's just like Americans get entertainment like very few other people do. So I am thrilled that they hosted the World Cup, and maybe it'll get America a little more excited and enthusiastic about football. I'm not holding my breath, but it could. And then Vyasin says here, Argentina has not been great. You just be careful. Just remember, this is my team since 1990. Messi has been great. Yes, of course he is. He is the greatest, but I think it's an awesome final, don't you?
I think it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic final. I do think for a long period of the World Cup, there was no question as to who the best team in the World Cup was, and that was France. And then you saw that actually, when you saw how tactical Spain was and how disciplined they were against France, and how France couldn't manage to, to really penetrate beyond their kind of last quarter and get into their box and get some shots or targets, and even really manage to get the ball and gain possession enough from the midfield and intercept that discipline that Spain had formed, that actually they were beatable and actually they weren't tactically sound, and they just had a couple great moves and relied on speed, and that's where they managed to get their quick jabs in and create those those massive moments where you'd have Mbappe just kind of sprinting through, or Dembele down the side and rocketing in some shots with some easily telegraphed passes that just end up leading to these goals, where Spain, like as soon as they have their structure, you just can't get through them, and you can't beat them on that discipline. And it is the Spanish way of football, that tiki-taka kind of football. And they won the 2010 World Cup just like that too.
Yeah.
And I think you know what? I've always been a massive, massive Messi fan, but with the Argentina road to victory and how much it's brought the game and the trust and love for the World Cup into the level of disrepute it has, and now brought in all these other conspiracies, because if we're honest, the absolute inconsistency of VAR usage. You almost think that Spain maybe should take it to save FIFA's blushes. Otherwise, it's just going to cause more issues. And I think at the
Go.
end of the day, there's the other side, right? There's the other side where Argentina still has to score the goals. They still have to win the game. They still have to have
Yeah.
those brilliant moments where Messi creates these opportunities and scores these goals in these last 10 minutes, three goals out of nowhere that makes them win against Egypt 3-2. But after two very controversial calls where it's like, cool, those
Oh,
calls,
come on.
I get
Okay,
them,
so
but it's not
I watched that was one of the most exciting and unexpectedly
unbelievable.
exciting games.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. I mean, they had what, 15 or 16 minutes left to go. Egypt were 2-0 ahead, and Argentina just to suddenly they suddenly start to accelerate and to ramp things up. And I thought, oh my God, okay, it's going to go to a penalty shootout. There's going to
Extra
be
time.
extra time, and they just closed it off. It was fucking amazing to
100%.
watch.
Hence, Hence why I'm saying, like, at the end of the day, you can say anything you want about the calls, but then Argentina still has to score those goals. They still have to have those moments. And, you definitely can't discredit that whatsoever. But, and then you look at, England against, I just went back, England played Spain. And I mean, they were just, Spain was just far superior. And I think when England has always professed just how they are the best league over and over and over again, yet can't win a World Cup. What I think now is the last 60 odd years, I think 60 years to, 60 years or so. And like, they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I think it was quite interesting to tactically then decide, okay, we're going to now sit back. We've got a 1-0 lead. And then watching themselves get punished for that, I think it was much, much deserved against Argentina. It was much deserved because Argentina again will show you that at the depth that they will win. But their road has been exciting. Like the Argentina's road, seeing them win all these last minute kind of games and last minute winners, that Cabo Verde game with Argentina was one of the best games of the World Cup. But once again, they dug
Definitely.
deep and they got the job done every single time. And I think that's what's going to be exciting against Spain. You've got two very similar styles in certain senses. You've got lots of Argentinians that play out in Spain, and you've got Messi, who is really the king of Spanish football, having become this great at Barcelona, and a lot of tacticians that are up against each other. And I think we're going to see a super exciting game, one where both of them won't
All
end
right,
up
so
resting on their laurels and becoming complacent. It's
give
going
me
to be
your
an exciting game.
prediction. Give me your prediction.
Oh, you know what? You saw the last World Cup against France. If you try to predict that would just be insanity. I mean, that was one of the most exciting World Cup finals ever. And I think it's going to be the same case here. However, I do, in some really sad, dramatic way, pick Spain to end up winning this one. Me too.
All right, well, I
My
know.
heart, my heart, my heart, however, does want that to be the other way around, and Messi have a back to back and make it absolutely undeniable, which I really think it is, that he's the greatest of all time. I've been a huge Argentina fan. I mean, that's a fact. But
I'll
I
take
think the
this bet
game
with
needs
you.
that. Okay.
Whoever I'm obviously backing Argentina, and if I win, then you can buy me lunch. We'll go to your. Do you
Okay.
still have that place with the burgers?
Nah, I don't anymore,
Ah,
unfortunately.
okay. Well, we'll go somewhere else that you don't own.
There's other
And
places with burgers that I can take you
yeah,
there.
all right. So, but you're gonna pay for the lunch if Argentina
That's
win,
fine.
and if Spain win, I'll pay for the lunch because I mean I haven't seen you in such a
Okay.
long time. And bring
Okay.
your
So
dad as
win-win
well. That'll be
situation. I'll
fun.
take that bet.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
all
Yeah,
right,
we'll make
done.
him pay.
Okay, deal.
Perfect.
So tell me
Okay.
about all the other things that you're involved in, because you're always one of these people who's got like irons in all the different fires. You've got this really good reputation in the business community in South Africa, in the media business, and that's a hard thing to do because the minute you do something for this one, then the other one's pissed off, and you've managed to somehow thread this needle for years. You're masterful at it. I've got to give you all the credit in the world for it. But you're doing so many other things at the same time. What are your day-to-day projects at the moment that you want to tell us about?
I think right now I've been really, really fortunate in terms of how I've been lucky to essentially travel the world with a lot of presenting and emceeing work both locally and internationally. Currently, I'm working on a food travel show, African food travel show, where I'm traveling the continent, kind of Bourdain-esque, trying to show the world just the incredible food that we have on the continent, and
Cool.
sharing that with the world, just showing how South Africa, how Africa really has a wonderful culinary prowess in all its offerings, but also how our food has traveled throughout the continent and traveled globally, and really how we have so much more in common, as a globe than we think, but also just highlighting just how special the African food offering is. And as South Africans as well, we always rush to the rest of the world and give them all the acclaim for what they have to offer. And if it's French, it's better. If it's Italian, it's better. That's where the best food is. But we have so much incredible food on the continent, and there's this kind of superiority complex even when it comes to food, where it's like, oh no, that's from
Okay,
Ghana, that's from
so
Nigeria, that's, you know. And I think we find so many gems here where we
I mean
realize actually we relate in so many ways.
that's such an interesting observation, and I don't disagree with you, but if aliens had to land on planet Earth now, and you were the person, and they said, okay, we've chosen among all the humans, we've asked Maps Maponyane to decide what is the representative dish for Africa or for South Africa that you would put in front of the aliens?
The representative just for South Africa that put in front of the audience.
Something that they'd go,
Well,
oh
you
my
know
God,
what?
okay, that.
I mean, do you know what's been interesting about this journey, for example, Gareth? Like, so far we've kind of started going through the Southern African side, and what's been fascinating is finding chefs like Busi Ndlovu, who is Soweto born and now is creating these traditional, almost township flavor dishes with this so on a gourmet level, so bringing in a lot of that Western feel into them, but keeping the flavor the same and keeping that presentation on that level, but the flavor keeping it so South African. And the fusion of creating those kinds of flavors has been something that has been quite exciting, having that
No, no,
kind of
no,
South
no.
African influence in cake as
You are
well.
done. You're
And
done, dude. You are
no,
dancing around. The aliens are
wait,
landing.
wait,
You're the
wait,
man. Choose
wait,
the
wait.
dish.
No, so then you do all these things, right? And you go to these amazing places and you see like the culinary gourmet level. And then you go to a place in Cape Town all of a sudden. And then this is what I love in terms of the vastness of the show that we're creating and telling the stories of the people behind the dishes and everything. Then you go to Golden Dish, which is Cape
Oh
Town's
yeah, okay.
most
Sure.
famous place for
I know it.
Gatsby's. And oh my goodness. And then you're like, oh. I mean, this just
Let
like
me tell
you
you,
taste all those flavors that you've ever had in SA.
you can't teach me about the golden dish. I only ate there once, but I will never forget it in my life. I had what they call the
Exactly.
bastard. I had it at like
Yes.
2 a.m.
Of
after a
course, you
big
have
night
to
out at the
bust.
galaxy. Yeah, the bastard,
Yeah.
dude. It I mean it 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 it's heavy. You don't need to eat for another 2 days after
course.
that because you're
100%. Yeah.
sorted. It's probably
Yeah.
what killed Elvis, actually, now that I think about it. But that place is absolutely one of the things every South African has to do once in their life.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've got so many dishes, right? But I mean, if you take something as simple as that, which is supposed to be an easily accessible dish just to grab, and you show how delicious that Gatsby is from there, and you're like, this is the kind of flavors we work with in South Africa, then I think the aliens would be like, okay, fine. You guys are good. We'll just move on to Namibia instead.
Don't give the aliens tripe. We will be eliminated immediately. Oh, I couldn't agree more. What do you eat? Because we were talking to Dr. Ray before you came on. He's talking about GLP-1s and all these people on Ozempic, and you've never had weight issues. You've always been a spectacular human being in terms of your overall physique and well-being. But what do you eat on a day-to-day basis? Because you don't look like one of those people who's as into food as you are.
I mean, I honestly eat everything. I just avoid eating things that may be like I eat everything. I think I just avoid like a lot of fried foods. And I've got such a sweet tooth, so I try avoid like things that are too sugary because then it just is such an addictive thing for me where I just am
Yeah,
not able
I'm with
to
you.
stop. So because of like the length of the days that I have and everything, and obviously it can seem, silly to mention, I end up finding myself like you find that what you really should eat because of what makes you feel better and what can like sustain you throughout the
Yeah.
day. So I end up finding myself wanting to eat things that at least are just like well prepared and fresh, but I love good tasty food I can get stuck into. And a lot of the time I'll do that for dinner, and I just love rich, beautiful flavors where I know the next thing I'm going to do is have a shower and sleep, and want to pass out or something. But if I need to sustain myself energetically throughout the day. I always keep it as balanced as I can, and I try to have as much color on my plate as possible. But that's something probably that's a nostalgic attachment to my mom, because the seven color dish that my mom makes is always going to be my favorite. And I think I've always been taught that a variety of color is always what is the best thing to sustain you and makes eating
Well,
more exciting. But I'll eat just about anything. I just love it.
isn't it interesting though that idea of having as many colors on your plate? It sounds cosmetic and maybe traditional and nice, but it's actually, it turns out, it's pretty healthy for you. You know, humans have developed an attraction to colorful food because many varieties of different colors of food provide you with many different nutrients. So it ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy in the end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of dietitians, they always like to say that thing of if it's brown, if it's only brown and white, it's not right. That might be a South African debate for years. But just that alone, we know that. Like we know that, but it just also a lot of the time is our staple, and it tastes so good, and it's meat, and it's the starch, and it's meat, and it's the the fried potatoes and everything, just all beautiful things. But I think what's funny is even when you get put on some kind of like eating program to get into good shape, and you're eating these foods, it's just quite hilarious how we avoid knowing exactly what our bodies want. And when you're keeping up with it, we frame it under this like word diet. But if you think about it, everything we eat is some form of a diet. Diet's not this negative thing. It's like we just know what we need to eat, and we make the choice not to eat those things that we need to eat often enough. And I think for
No,
me, obviously,
isn't it?
balance and moderation at the end of the day.
It's a bit of a simplification and oversimplification, maybe, to say, you know, you get your eat to live people and your live to eat people. And I always used to say, well, I'm one of those eat to live people. If I could just take a pill every morning and that would give me all the nutrition I needed for the day and I could save time on meals, then I'd be happier. But obviously, there's so much about eating. And you mentioned some of these shows that you're doing, which you're doing all over the world. Something about eating that is hugely social, and it has all kinds of benefits apart from the nutrition, which we take for granted. And we think, you know, you only think about after the fact. And somebody said something to me the other day about how you should actually never just have a meal on your own, because, oh, we've lost Mups. Is he there? Dropped off?
I'm back.
Oh, there he
Sorry
is.
about that.
No,
Yeah, I'm back. I'm
sorry. You
back. Yeah.
should never have a meal on your own because you're missing out on all the added bonus things about a meal that you don't get just from the food. It's not what you put into your body, it's who you're with it. You know, that's why it's considered like the height of hospitality. And when someone is truly a part of your life, that you would break bread with them, as you know, the Bible and many other old texts say. So these are important things, that the social aspect of eating.
I mean, I'm definitely a live to eat person, and any opportunity, I look forward to the moment I get to eat during the day. I really, really do. And I'm also a person that can make you feel a little bit uncomfortable when you're eating around them, because I have this relationship where I go into a deep, almost like courting with my food, and then there's this flirting that's with that. And then when I eat it, I'm annoyingly like, and like I'm just like I want to feel every little. I want to taste and savor every little flavor. And I don't know. It's an interesting thing for me. Like it's a maybe a bit of a silly philosophy, but I find that it's how I do a lot of things, where I like a lot of the time being on this big marble can be a pretty miserable thing, right? This big blue marble. And I think like for me, I'm like we've got so many opportunities to make it an interesting and exciting thing. And I think things like food that you have to do on a daily basis, like those mundane things, are what you make exciting about it. And I want to always live as beautifully as possible. And for me, that means like doing things a little bit slower, a little bit more intentionally, being present in those things. And obviously, it can seem a little bit esoteric, but I'm like, when I eat each bite, like I want to feel and taste and really know what's happening, and I want to know what the changes happening in me physically are, and how that affects me. And I think that improves my relationship with food, because I know if I have that, I'm not going to feel as
It
good as I
just
feel when
sounds
I have this, and it's just
very
messy.
complicated. I mean, if you're a girl on a dinner date with Mups Maponyane, you're gonna have to compete with the food for attention. It sounds odd.
Do you know what? I can tell you something about that. My worst date ever was around the issue of food, and I mean, hope she doesn't watch this, but we were this girl that I'd met many, many years ago. She loved pizza, and she was just like, you know, if we're going on a date, love for us to go have pizza together. That's my favorite food. We ordered this large pizza to share together, and I'm just like, oh, this looks amazing. It's nice and cheesy and stringy, and we both, you know, dive right in. I grab my pizza. And I'm immediately eating it, hardly placing it on my side plate, just like having it all in one go. She takes her first slice, puts it on the side plate, and proceeds to just scrape it off the top of the bread and eats the toppings with the cheese and does this. And then proceeds to make like loud noise while she does it. At the end of it, she had these 3 slices of tomato-based bread with skid marks just absolutely just mutilated across them. And I was just like, oh, no, this alone? That's amazing, girl.
Yeah, I was like, but you were just totally put off.
Something at the time. And I was like, there's going to be a big thing my whole life because I realized how much this affects me. But I feel like that would affect anyone. And that never happened again. There wasn't a second date. So food is an important thing for me.
I just want to get to one or two of these comments here quickly. Someone who was at school with you, K9, says, Mups is such a decent dude. I went to school with him. He was kind to everyone and ultra popular. People don't say that about anyone at school, dude. Whatever you did right. And he says, ask him about long jump.
When I said, oh, no, I saw that line. I said, ask him about long jump before I read anything else. But thank you for that really nice comment coming in. Long jump is a bit of a traumatic trigger for me to think of. But when I was in school, long jump was one of my events in athletic. And I used to, you know, I was overachiever in that field. And I was practicing leading up to our inter school's long jump event. And I was practicing at the stadium and I was really starting to jump like some of my best lengths. Anyway, so we end up having inter house competition for long jump. And in my warm up run, I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable, feeling it out. And I say to our school ref or teacher to please move the mat back. Because when we had those rubber mats where you could then jump from an earlier spot to reach into the pit. And I said, just please move the mat back. It feels a little bit close and close and uncomfortable. And he says, oh, Maponyane, you're being silly because this is 7 meters and the record 7.1 hasn't been broken for the last 40 years. So stop being generic or whatever it is, you know. And he has a little go, and I'm like, sir, I promise you this feels really, and I worry that I'm going to get a little bit too far.
Yeah.
In my first kind of practice jump, I just commit to feeling that length, and if I am right, I jump, and we have those sand pits, and it has the base around it. I land with my leading foot, my left foot, which is my leading foot, just outside the pit on the grass. Oof. And then my back foot hits the wall of the sand pit and my tibia ends up smashing into my femur. And I absolutely, I obliterated my knee and had to get that reconstructed. And I was out for about 10 months because of that.
Isn't it weird, though, that you had that premonition? I mean, if he just listened to you, you know, maybe you knew something was going to happen, you know, some bizarre idea that like something crazy is going to happen. I need to double check this thing and no one was listening to you.
Well, I think that's like one of the worst things when you're in that and all you're thinking is, I knew it. I told you so. I asked. And then the worst part for me, the most painful part while I'm screaming. And I remember all the parents are there, all our schoolmasters are there. And like, I always I was screaming, but my initial, I'll never forget because everyone went, oh, because they were surprised that it was me. As it happened, I went in school and everyone was like, and it's like, oh my gosh. And then they knew it was bad. Like it was really bad. And then what really, really hurt was being paid off and looking at my schoolmaster, really being annoyed at him as he pulled the mats back. And I was just like, thanks, thanks,
Yeah, told you.
thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I just think
that
the most amazing part of that story is that Mups Maponyane used like foul language, and people must have been horrified because I never even thought you were possible. It was possible for you to do that. I didn't think it was within your wheelhouse.
I mean, the funny thing in that regard is it wasn't the collision that made everyone go, oh, it was that part, that was that.
All
I
right.
swore.
Tell me a little bit about this. What is Bridges for Music? What is this thing you're involved in now? Because you've got DJs involved here. I believe that Brenda Fassie's nephew is involved in this too. There's some kind of success story here that Sipe Fassie joined as a 14-year-old and is now a touring DJ. Skrillex once pulled him on stage at Ultra in South Africa. I didn't know any of this stuff.
So we've got this incredible organization that I'm lucky to be a part of, like I serve on the board of, and it's a wonderful music academy, music and what would I say, arts and recreation academy out of Langa Township. And it's an opportunity to be able to give young, creative, youth from underserved communities, not necessarily just Langa, if you come from other communities that want to come and explore their talents for music, for sound engineering, for any kind of tech and computer skills, and in anything within that kind of creative space. We do mindfulness, we do entrepreneurship skills, and we do, as I say, sound engineering, singing. We have some of the top state-of-the-art equipment that's within there. One of our key sponsors within the organization is Pioneer DJ, and we provide these kids the opportunity to try and explore those talents of theirs. And we've managed to produce incredible talents within the music space, as I say, from sound engineers, but lots of various DJs that have come through the academy's journey, and great musicians, singers, whatever other instruments that they may play, not just the DJs. And they've toured around the world at some of the biggest concerts. One of our biggest sponsors, or one of our biggest kind of donors over the years since it's been established, which is the last 12 years, is Skrillex. And he's walked this journey with Bridges for Music for a long time. And a lot of international DJs know about this academy in Langa in South Africa. And DJ Mag, for example, last year, what they want to try doing on a yearly basis, have this, whenever they have the DJ Mag Awards, they have this lead up to the DJ Mag Awards where all the DJs donate a certain amount of money to the organization as well, just to keep reinvesting in the development of musical skills. And this is something that's worked out really nicely for the organization. One of the own people as well were people like Black Coffee, who used to get behind it. And we've had Avicii, who also came back in the day. And Armin van Buuren
Yeah.
has supported it quite well. Lots of DJs across the country, across the world. Msaki is one of the most wonderful human beings who, from day one as well, has led lots of songwriting camps, lots of singing, camps as well, and takes so much of her own time to spend with these students, and has donated so much of her own money, and has given them stages and platforms around the world. She honestly is someone who, in her own right, deserves, all the love and acclaim for what she does for musical development, and is really just a fantastic person. So we've got lots of those here in SA who are quietly making an impact and a
Love
difference
it.
in the things that they love, and
Well,
it's giving
I
kids opportunities.
mean, South African DJs have punched above their weight in Europe and North America and the Caribbean for a long time now. And I think it's just great that there are organizations like this that are doing stuff for the people who nobody knows yet, because one day we will know these
Absolutely.
names, and everybody starts somewhere, right? I'm blown away by how DJing is still a thing. Because, and it's a growing thing. It's something that's become a very different animal to what it was back in the day. But I meet people all the time who go, oh, you know, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to spend my life doing, is DJing. I'm like, what are you, retarded? And then turns out they're really talented and they can do shit that very few people can do. So, I mean, that I'm fully behind.
No, absolutely. I mean, turns out they can buy obscenely massive homes in Cape Town. It does very, very well. I've even been at Bast a few times to actually explore it a little bit. And that'd be quite funny. But no, I totally get what you're saying. I think it's the music production element of it, you know. It's definitely, you know, I think you and I have had the same take in the past of just like, you're literally just playing next, right? You're mixing it to the next. But then when you actually see the skill behind the production side of it, the people who create the music and how they're able to intertwine that with music that's already existing and producing new music.
All right, so Mups.
Yeah, then you see it.
Mups, I know you've got all these different businesses going. You've got all these other things. You're on the board of this amazing organization that's doing these things for all these talented young people. Have we got children yet? I mean, I haven't caught
we
up
don't.
With you in a long time. You don't have children
no,
yet?
No, we don't
Me
have
neither.
Children yet.
Me neither.
No.
How, have you, managed, the same how have you managed not to produce more Maps Maponyanes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think honestly, it's just been A, the amount of travel work, and then B, probably the main thing is, you know, doing it at the right time with the right person. And
right,
I
dude.
Think
no, that is the answer. That's the answer I was looking for, because that is the truth.
Yeah,
you got to be so careful. You know, I bumped into this guy the other day who I hadn't seen for a long time, right? And he said to me, "Oh yeah, I've got this daughter. She's like 8 years old, and she's beautiful, and I love her to pieces. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me." And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great." And obviously, I was genuinely pleased for him because he looked very, very happy while he was telling me the story. And then he turned and he said, "But her mother is a piece of work, hey?" And I suddenly went, "This poor guy. Now, you know, he's got this daughter. Obviously, he wouldn't have it any other way. But now this woman."
Yeah.
Who he doesn't have anything in common with anymore. She's still in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things as well where people make that mistake also. Like he probably knew that before, but then could be one of those situations where they introduce the child to try to save the relationship. And that ends up being, you know, just the worst idea, because you probably end up hating each other even more, because now you have to deal with each other plus this other human too, who ends up taking the attention away anyway. And for me, like, the irony for me is that I can't wait to be a dad. I think I've been put on this earth to be a father, and it's my number one, like, ambition in life to be the best dad I can possibly be. And so, you know, it's interesting that I haven't, you know, had that yet. But I think that just shows you just how particular I'm being as well in wanting to do so in an environment where I'm actually really happy being able to do so with the right person.
Listen, it's really good to see you. And we must get together. We owe each other. One of us is going to pay for a lunch soon.
It's
where are you watching the game on Sunday? Yeah, exactly. Where are you watching the game on Sunday?
I'm going to watch it with a group of friends at a mate's place. It's got a lovely little projector system and a little lapa where we're all coming together on the braai. I might bring a Gatsby along with. And
very South African. I like this.
That's okay. And yeah, I'm just gonna enjoy the game there. So we'll see what happens.
Are you based in Joburg or Cape Town now? Where are you mostly? I mean, you're all over the world.
I'm mostly at the airport, but I'm based between Joburg, Cape Town, Europe and the States. Yeah, kind of all over the place. Based in Terminal. Enough
too. I love it.
All right.
I love it. I will see you shortly, and let's hope you know the best team wins on Sunday. I'll be watching it just like you are, and I will catch up with you very, very soon, Maps Maponyane. Thank you, sir.
Catch you soon. Thanks so much, Gareth.
Love it, dude. Thanks very much.
Yes.
There he is. Right, what bye. A guy. And it's great to have him on the show again. The excellent Maps Maponyane, who, you know, people say. And you saw it in the comments from this guy who was at school with him. Like, people only have nice things to say about this guy. I love it. So always, and you could tell it's genuine with him. He's just one of those people. He's like, he's garrulous and friendly and he's real. And he's not putting up any kind of show for people. He's just a decent guy. I love him. Awesome, awesome human being. All right. So whatever you're up to this weekend, I hope you're going to be watching the football on Sunday. And even if you're not a football fan, I encourage you to watch it. It's like a once every 4 years thing. It's so much fun. And support Argentina. What can I tell you? If you truly recognize talent, even if it's only every 4 years, support the great team of Argentina and Lionel Messi, if nothing else. We will be catching up with you next Friday. Don't forget the daily briefing is still available daily, including today, Monday to Friday. Comes out at 7 a.m. in the morning, and it'll give you a snapshot that'll allow you to position yourself in the world. Sometimes it's not breaking news. It's not a news podcast, even though we're number two in the news podcasts in South Africa. I suppose we cover news, so it's the right category. But we, you know, it's more about kind of understanding what's happening in the world with you. I do the research and the heavy lifting, and I try to put things in context. We discussed BlackRock this week. We discussed, we go into like deep dives around the World Economic Forum. There's plenty of stuff in there that you're not going to get in 5 or 6 3-hour podcasts that I'm trying to summarize and make useful to you. And then there's this show every Friday where we get to talk to people like Maps Maponyane, we get Leanne on, we get Dr. Ray on. Thanks to all of our guests today. And we will catch you next Friday for another action-packed show. I was talking to James and Janine before the show today, and we've got a busy couple of weeks. So don't miss the next couple of these shows. And let us know what you think. Drop a comment. Tell your friends about it. Tell your enemies about it. Make sure everybody knows. We will see you next week. Have an awesome, awesome Friday, everybody. Ciao.